Awesome worship, awesome time together. Guys, I will tell you, who's ready for school? And all the Spurs students said, no, it's okay. I'm excited as we get to get ready for school. I can't believe it's another year. As I look over there at my niece and nephew, good Lord, they're taller than me now. This is getting, y'all, I'm getting old. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm getting old. Don't tell nobody. Y'all are all getting younger, but I'm getting old. It's okay. It's okay. So what we've been walking through for real is perfect today as we get ready to kick off this season. And I'm going to tell you, here at the end of the service today, we're going to pray over our teachers again. I don't think that we could pray over our teachers and students enough as they go into this year, because I believe this year is going to be incredible. But I also know that it has its challenges, so I'm excited about that. But what we've been unpacking over these past few weeks, guys, is we've been walking through this series called The Good Work. And the verse that we've been rallying around is Ephesians 2:10, and it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So many times when we follow Jesus, even if we don't follow Jesus, we want to know that life is full of good works. We want to know that we have a good work, right? Like, the end of the day, we want to know that we've done something good. Unless you're a psychopath or a maniac, you want to know that you've done something good, right? Like, that's what we've been called to do. And so many times in following Jesus, we look for this good work when the good work he's called us to is right in front of us. So that's what we've been leaning into over these past few weeks, as we've just learned in the first week, who is Jesus to us? We learned that he's our Lord and Savior. Last week, we learned about the right intention and how we have to go after the one just as Jesus did. And today, we're going to be continuing on and talking about the journey, right? Like, is it? Okay, everybody's here today. That's cool. I was going to have my best journey song, but that's all right. So that's how we roll. But we're going to be talking about the journey, because life is a journey, isn't it? This whole life is a journey. We're taking step by step toward eternity, and sometimes it's hard to smile. Sometimes it's hard to put one foot in front of the other. As a matter of fact, sometimes in our life, when we go through struggle, we're pretty frustrated. But the thing that helps us through the struggle more than anything is the relationships we have. And so what we're going to be unpacking today as we walk through this thing called the journey is the relationships that we have, because the Bible is about relationships from front to back. It's about relationships. And I know that that's a tough thing for us, and maybe that's something new for you, but throughout the beginning, God created us to be in relationship. In the Garden of Eden, God breathed life onto this earth, and he created man on the sixth day. And everything was right. We were in a right relationship with God. And through that, Adam and Eve were in a right relationship with each other, right? And so them being in right relationships, all of a sudden Satan comes, deceives them. And because of that deception, they rebelled against God. And from that moment on, we have not been in a right relationship with God. And because of that, we can't truly be in a right relationship with each other. And so as we go in today, I want you to go ahead and get in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to have a few stops before then, but that's where we're going to camp out mostly today if you want to get there. Any of the other verses we'll have on the screen for you, or if you remember Bible drill days, you can flip back and forth to it. But 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter is where we're going to spend most of our day. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we have some free for the asking at the back. You can also follow along with us online through the Bible app if you like to do things digitally. But we are literally going to be in 1 Corinthians 13 today. So that being said, I'm telling you about relationships. I just want to put everything out here. If I'm a little bit more jumpy than normal, I may or may not be on medication right now because I've been sick this week. So if I'm a little more jumpy than normal, it's okay. It'll pay off. We'll just have a wrestling match up here. It'll be good times. So that being said, relationships. So going back to the garden, our relationship with God was broken, and our relationship with each other was broken. So we're going to set up verse 13 through the journey this way. And because of us having these broken relationships, we had to search for a way to be right with God. So God gave down the Ten Commandments. So back in the day, we used to have the Ten Commandments everywhere. I don't know if anybody remembers in school back in the day, you used to have them like up on the wall when you did the Pledge of Allegiance. I know that's unheard of today. Those things don't, I even said the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't even know if we do that in schools. Some schools do, some schools don't, I think. So that was one of those things. So the Ten Commandments shows us how we have to be in right relationship with God and with each other. So we're not going to go to Exodus 20. You can quiz me later. They may be a little out of order. But the first four commandments shows us the importance of relationship to God first when he says, do not put no other gods before me. Do not make idols. Do not take my name in vain. And he also says, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? So that is what would put us in a right relationship with God. And the last six are how we can have a right relationship with each other. Talks about honoring your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. So relationships are what the Bible is all about. Relationship to God and relationship to each other. So we're going to get there. Hang in here with me. So because of our broken relationship, we needed a way to get right with God first. So here enters Jesus. See, Jesus came to fix these broken relationships. And because he came to fix the broken relationships, remember, he said, I am the fulfillment of the law, those 10 commandments. Each and every one of us have to understand that Jesus came to put us in a right relationship with God first so that we could have a right relationship with each other because of that. But so many times in our life, don't we have that flipped? Don't we think we got to get ourselves right and our relationship right with each other before we come to God? We think we got to clean ourselves up. We think we got to have it all together. We think that we have to fix this before we can ever go to God, and that's just not how it works in God's economy. So Jesus came to restore relationships, and when he did that, he shows us that we are supposed to go and do this good work. I told you there's a verse that you're going to have memorized by the time this is done. If you don't, you're going to by the time this is over. He told us how we can be at right relationship with God first and then how we are to go and be in right relationship with others. And it's found in Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. It's going to pop up on the screen if you don't have it memorized. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So when we read that, I want you to read it through this lens today as we talk about this journey, because the one thing you can carry on this side of eternity into the next is the relationships you have with Jesus and the relationship you created with each other. Because here's the thing, when it's all said and done, it's all said and done, and I'm going to be grim, so hang out here with me, but I'm just going to be real. The hole that they dig in the ground is the same size for all of us. I don't see a different size urn if they burn us. They're all the same size, no matter how much you weigh. But the relationships we have before we pass away on this earth and go into eternity are something that we can carry into eternity. If we have a right relationship with God and we point them to Jesus, they have to make that decision. We are not their salvation. Yet at the same time, we have to be at a place where we're in the right relationship with God so that we can point them to him. That's how we go and make disciples. Because the Great Commission is nothing without relationships. The whole Bible is about relationships. And coming from the guy, I wish I could tell you I was perfect at relationships and I was not eHarmony. I can't remember the one that I used to laugh at all the time. Christian Tingle. Anyway, don't look it up. That being said, sorry, I knew it. I couldn't say it. I'm sorry. I'm not holding back today. I'm not the one that's the greatest at relationships, I would tell you, but it's because in my life, Jesus has continued to work that out in me. And I think we all have some ways to grow in our relationship with him and with each other. And so as we live out these relationships, we live out this good work that is the Great Commission, I want to tell you this today that I hear all the time. Don't think you got to have it all together to go out and make disciples. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You've got a Bible. Whatever he's called you to do, you can do it. Look what's right in front of you. Don't think you got to have a seminary degree. Don't think you got to go to Bible college. Don't think that you have to break down hermeneutics and understand about the Second Catholic Council that came together and talked about how in the world we're supposed to be talking the gospel in the future than the past. You don't have to have the Nicene Creed memorized. You don't have to have all these things to do what God's called you to do. What God's called you to do is go and make disciples. And the way that we're going to do that is what Jesus is about to tell us here. How we go and make disciples is found in John 13, 34 and 35. We're almost at 1 Corinthians 13. Hang in there with me. It's going to make sense, I believe, because the Spirit of God's here. John 13, verse 34 says this. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what is the command Jesus gives us? Love. So Jesus said in the end, he said it is finished on the cross. When he was walking on this earth, he says, I am the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments for us. He is the way that we can have not a broken relationship with God and with each other, but a restored relationship with God and others. And the only way that we can live that out is if we love one another. When he walked this earth, he fully modeled to us how we can be fully alive and fully in right relationship with God and fully alive and fully in right relationship with each other. Everywhere we go. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Sometimes it's just the hardest thing to do. Especially, believe it or not, I will tell you, the most conflict I have in my life are people who say they're Christians. Am I the only one? And I'm sure people say the same thing with me, like, except Christian, who plays bass here in our Vine. He's great. He's a great Christian. He's awesome. He's got it rock and roll. For real, though, for real. Most of us who profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior so many times, we're the most offended, aren't we? We get the easiest offended, and we shouldn't. We should be the ones that love the most. And so many times, that's where we get stuck. And this is why I've been excited on Thursday nights. We're about to wrap up our Experiencing God Bible study. And this past week, something that just rang with me, I wanted to share with you, because I know not all of us get to make it, is a Greek word, koinonia. Koinonia. So say this with me after three, koinonia. One, two, three. Koinonia. One more time. Koinonia. Now, when you look it up, it's going to look like koinonia, okay? So that's just it, or koinonia, like, you know, that's how we roll down here in the southern part of the U.S., like here in South Carolina. But what that means is communion and fellowship. Koinonia, communion, fellowship. It described the Acts 2 church. Communion and fellowship with God led to expansion and growth of the church because of their communion and fellowship with each other. And how do you think they lived it out? That four-letter word, L-O-V-E. So many times in my life, I've treated love like a four-letter word. How about you? Sometimes it just feels that way. And so many times in the Bible, we get caught in all the surface level things we have to do, and we want to get caught in apologetics, and we want to get caught in all those things, and they're great. Listen to me. Those are great. We have to have space for those. But as we're about to learn, if love is not involved, it's all pointless. We have to have love. We have to have love, because if we don't have love, then we can't possibly make disciples who are disciple makers. Now, I'm not talking love, man. Like, you know, I'm not talking like back in the day. I'm not talking going out there Woodstock love, even though that's cool and that's crazy and you might have liked the music that we had here. And I'm talking about a love that's not emotional. I'm talking about it's called agape love. I'm talking about a love of Christ that is not self-seeking, but is self-giving. Willing to put others above yourself. Jesus modeled that love. He said, hey, if you want to have a right relationship with the Father and experience the Father and your Creator, you've got to experience His love first. You've got to receive me. You've got to understand that I am the Lord and Savior. I am your Lord and Savior, and I'm pointing you into a right relationship with God. And through that, you'll be able to live that out with each other. So today, I want us to go out into the world and live out this koinonia. To live out this fellowship. But we got to be right with God first. And so many times I will tell you, we just can't be. We aren't. And we try to fix things. And don't we like to have a 12-step program? We like to fix the things. And we like to restore the relationship. You know, it's kind of like the cat who goes and kills the bird and puts it on the front step. Like, we want to show love that way, right? Like, we want to do that. And it doesn't work, and we can't figure out why it won't work. It's because we got to be right with God first. And so today, that's what I want to unpack on this thing called a journey. As we get to 1 Corinthians 13, the question I want to answer today is, how do we journey in relationships with love? So 1 Corinthians 13, we're finally there, if you're with me. We're finally there. So I'm thankful for you for hanging in there with me. Hope you're going to show me some love for doing that. tough crowd. So that being said, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. I love this letter that Paul writes to this church, to the church in Corinth. It's awesome. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3 says it this way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You ever had that in your life? If you've had a newborn, you've been there. Sometimes it sounds like that, right? That's just how it is. It's okay. And you want to show them love. They can't help it. They're trying to communicate with you. If you've ever been a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, you ever had a puppy? You ever had something like that that just drives you insane? That's what that is. If we don't have love in our life, it doesn't matter if we have this fruit of the Spirit to speak in tongues. It doesn't matter if we don't have love. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. Mustard seed faith. Isn't it great when you have those folks that just like, they got faith. You know what I mean? Like they've got faith. Like those are people like you want to be around. Like they're the ones that you want walking around the city in prayer, like having this faith and the walls are going to come down like Jericho. They've got this faith. Like they're just fired up. They're ready to go. But I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't have love, it's worthless. If I give all I possess to the poor and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is the driving force. So many times we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. That's why it starts out with love. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, self-control, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, right? Like as we're walking through those, love. If we don't have love, then it is nothing. We are nothing. We gain nothing. Love is the ultimate thing. So if you're taking notes today, how do we journey in relationships with love? Number one is we make love the ultimate thing. We make love the ultimate thing. Have you ever just seen how nothing disarms like love? You ever just been in a heated argument with the mailman? I don't know. I'm just trying to make, I'm not married, so I can't say the spouse. Like, you ever just been in a heated argument with family, but love tears it down, right? Love. If love's the ultimate thing, you can meet someone right where they are, and it's okay. Because here's the thing that we have to understand. If we're right with God, we've experienced his love, because that's what Jesus is. Jesus is his love for us. And as we're operating out of this love, we can share it with others. And here's a cool thing about love. Not only do we get to share love with those around us, if we're right with Jesus, the evidence of Jesus in us is love. So if you're struggling with something, I want to tell you, love, love, love is the answer. I'm sure there's a million songs I could get there. So listen, here we go. So here's the thing I've shared with some of you this week when I talk about love being the ultimate thing. So this week I shared with some folks, and if not, you're going to hear it today. I was getting some things for Thursday night for our greenhouse gathering and some things for Sunday morning. And I was at the local shopping center, if you will. And I was out there, and literally I parked my car, and I go and put this cart. I have this cart, and I'm getting the stuff out of the cart, and this guy gets out of his car and just rakes me over the coals. Tells me how I'm everything but worth anything. I mean, I'm telling you, everything but nothing. Calls me every name in the book over a shopping cart, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, sounds like you've had a bad day. You want to talk about it? And that just made it worse, apparently. And some things were said. And I want to tell you, in love, I got in my car and drove off. Now, I did invite him to church. He's not here today. But if you're listening online, that'd be really awesome. I would love to have you, for real, for real. I would love to have you here. In a good way, in a good way. I don't mean in a bad way, in a good way. Everything in my being didn't want to show love in that moment. I'm going to tell you, my flesh, I wanted to get like 7 shopping carts from a cart stall, get a chain from Home Depot and lock it with 14 padlocks around his car so he had nowhere to go, because he sat there and watched me drive out of the parking lot because he was afraid I was going to do something to his car. Like, even after all of that, while he was going to return his game to Electronic Boutique, I'm just saying, it is. So anyway, all that to say, I want to tell you, it was hard to love in that moment. And that's just a crazy example. But each and every one of us, it's hard to love in the moment someone who's hurting you constantly, isn't it? It's hard to love in that moment whenever you see that person, all you see is what they said about you, all you see is how they're hurting you, all you feel is what they, when they look at you, you feel anger and you feel hurt. But Jesus says we have to choose love because you know what? He chose love for us. And when we have love as the ultimate thing in our relationship, we show him to the world. So think back over your life. Maybe you don't have a shopping cart story. I didn't share all the details. Okay. I didn't go to jail or nothing. We're good. So when we have love, I want you to think back. Is there a teacher in your life or a coach in your life that meant a lot to you in K through 12? I remember mine was in third grade. Miss Harmon, her name's Gloria Harmon. Her daughter, she had a daughter who's my age, named Dawn. And I just remember going through in third grade. She was just something that was important to me. I remember a coach Paris, my best friend's dad. He was my coach in middle school. He had an impact on me. And as I went up into high school, Coach Lancaster at Dorman and Coach Gutshaw, these guys, like, there was something about them that had an impact on me. But what I'm trying to get at is maybe you have those people in your life. I want you to think back how they had an impact on your life. They showed you love. They saw something in you more than you saw in yourself, didn't they? And that stuck. And church, that's what we're called to do. As hard as it may be. As much as I shared the gospel around that shopping cart experience at Walmart, as much as I did, because I didn't have a relationship with this person, it was pretty much falling on deaf ears. It didn't mean that I wasn't going to point to the truth. It didn't mean that I wasn't going to try to point to the truth. But we have to understand in our relationships, if love is at the center, man, it makes so much difference, doesn't it? Even if that person still chooses to hurt you, if you have love, it makes a difference. Now, I'm not talking about blind love. I'm not telling you to take and receive abuse. God didn't call you to do that. That is not what Jesus died to give you. What I'm telling you is love that points to the truth. Because so many times in our culture, so many times in our life, we're all worried about the Christian response, aren't we? Yeah, but the Bible says this person shouldn't inherit heaven. And the Bible says you got to give this much to the church. And the Bible says, I get it. You want to know the Christian response? Four letters, L-O-V-E, love, love. Love somebody right where they are. Love them right where they are in the season they're in and walk with them step by step through it. Because if you look back on your life at that coach and that teacher, if you've got a relationship with Jesus, I bet you remember the person that helped you get there because they showed you love by meeting you in the season you were in and walking with you step by step through it because that's what Jesus did for us. We have to love. Don't worry about what you need to post on Facebook. Don't worry about telling how they're going to go. Don't worry about it. Just love them right where they are. Just love them. Because in the end, I've shared this before, donkeys and elephants aren't going to get us to heaven. Only Jesus is. So who cares? Love them. Love them right where they are. And so what does this love look like? It goes on in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 6, and it says it this way. We know this from weddings. Come on, we all know this. We're familiar with this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, even though we want to lock shopping carts around their car. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I wish I could tell you that my love checked off all those boxes. Jesus is working into me like I might have one of those knocked out. We'll see. And that's the one that says rejoices in truth. We'll get the rest. We're working on the rest of it, right? Like sometimes I'm definitely not kind or patient as we're walking through those. But I just want to say this with your love is the thing that we have to see as we continue in the journey in life with these relationships with love is after we've made love the ultimate thing, we got to understand what real love is. I don't see an emotion in there. I don't see a feeling. But we treat love like that, don't we? We've lost that loving feeling, right? Like we treat love like a feeling. And see, the thing is, so many times we can get stuck in trying to treat love as a feeling, as a Hallmark card, as this thing that's just gushy, and it's just not real love. It's just not real love. Now, I'm not putting down this. I'm sure we'll get shut down. I don't know from Hallmark. If they sponsor us, they don't. But if they did, right? Like, I'm not telling you not to do those things. Those are important. But it's got to come from love being the truth because it rejoices in truth. So let me ask you this. When I was telling you about Koinonia earlier, before we move on to our second, the second way that we live out relationships and love, you want to know the spiritual temperature of a church. You want to know the spiritual temperature of someone's walk with Jesus. How quickly do they hurt when someone in their flock hurts? And how quickly do they rejoice when someone in their flock knows that something needs to be celebrated? Those two things will show you how strong your love is for the Lord and your love for others. And I wish I could tell you I was perfect at that all the time. I'm not. But the reason Jesus brings us here together as a church is so that we can do that. Because when we do that, we see a need and we meet it. Because love will make us do that. Love will not worry about the person on the side of the road and what they spend the money on. God just called you to give it. Love will not say, hey, yes, God, you've called us to give this money to nonprofits and the local church around the world, but we want to tell them how to spend it. No, we go in obedience with love and give it the way he's called us to do. Each and every time we have to understand love isn't an emotional thing. Love is something that ties us together through Christ. So the second way we journey in relationships with love is we live out love, life on life. A lot of alliteration today. Hang in here with me. Live out love, life on life. Live out love, life on life. When I look at Jesus's life, excuse me. When I look at Jesus's life and the way that he lived out love, it was always in relationships. Always. When we look at his life, like, remember, he spent 3 years of his earthly ministry with these 12 guys. One of them's going to betray him. He loves him just the same. But inside of that, he even spends more time with three of those 12 guys who end up being the leaders of the early church. And so he lived it. He lived out his love, life on life, one on one. And I want to tell you about me, kind of where I am. I'm a person... Jesus has grown me in this, but I'm not a lunch table person. Obviously, if you eat breakfast, you see I'm usually not somebody who's going to sit in the center and do those things. It's just Jesus is working on me on it. That's just not kind of how I'm wired. I'm wired to be a one-on-one person, or I'm wired to be like a zillions person. I don't know, like having lots of people out there. That's just kind of how Jesus created me, but it doesn't mean that I'm where I need to be in that. So I will tell you all this. In our life, we got to understand our life was created so that it could be shared. In love. And that's what Jesus did in love. He shared his life with others so they could share it with the rest of the world. And that's what your life and my life is. And if we want to live out a relationship that is a real agape love relationship, we've got to do it life on life. Because real love is obviously Jesus. And when we know who Jesus is, we can't keep it to ourselves, guys. Like, we can't keep it to ourselves. If we're hoarding Jesus, like, imagine how great and terrible that is. How awful would that be? We talked about that last week. If we hoard Jesus and there are people dying, going to hell because we wanted to be comfortable and be somewhere on time instead of being inconvenienced with the person Jesus put in our place, man, that's not a life filled with love. It's definitely not a life that's saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. It can get us stuck. So I want to give you the magic word to go ahead and help you live out in love. Are you ready? So it breaks down barriers, like it literally makes walls fall. Are you ready? Hello. That's it. That's the magic word. Hello. How many people say hello to you anymore? Not the fake power walk wave, you know, like when you're going down the street. Not the fake way, like hello. How many people look you in the eye and say hello? You want to see things torn down and you want to see barriers torn down and relationships grow in your life and living out love, life on life, say hello to somebody today. Really, say hello. Down here, you can get away with that here in South Carolina. You go do that in the Northeast, it's a little different. It's okay. You figure out something else. It's just, you know, what's good? You know, it's just something different, okay? It's just different kind of way to go, but you just walk that way. So I'm just saying, wherever you are, you want to break down these walls, say hello, because the main barrier to growth in your life with Christ is the lack of community you do or don't have. I'm telling you. If you don't have Christian community in your life, there is no way that your faith is living out and your love literally is as great as it could be if you don't have Christian community. That's why we believe life change happens best in Christian community here. You've got to have community because inside that community, you find this space and this place where love is present, where people love you just for how you are. People will walk with you as you grow. People will understand when you fall. People will celebrate when you've overcome this thing that has bogged you down, this addiction perhaps, that's bogged you down for years, or this health or this financial issue. People will celebrate that. Christian community does that. And if you want to have community in your life, say hello. From the great theologian Lionel Richie or Adele, I don't know, whatever you want to say, hello, just say hello. But don't call them from the other side, that's just weird. Say hello on the front end. So, hello, hello, because here's the thing that happens. Here's what happens so many times. We think that Christian community means you have to be a part of a church. And I want to tell you, that's what Thursday Night Greenhouse Gathering is about. It's not about a church, it's about the church. Because you know what? People who don't know Jesus are looking for community as much as people who do know Jesus. All of us are, because inside community is love. Love is found inside community. That's why people want to belong. Even though they say, man, I'm part of the movement that doesn't belong. Well, by default, you belong to a movement that doesn't belong. You are looking for a way to belong. You're part of a community. And so for each and every one of us, how we live out love is in Christian community. So this week, by God's grace, my hair still grows. So we'll take that as long as Jesus lets that happen, we'll believe. So I got my hair cut. This was before the incident in the parking lot. Praise God. This is before the incident in the parking lot. And I knew Jesus was getting things teed up for the doc. Have you ever just seen Jesus move and you're like, that was perfect timing because it was perfect because you wanted me to share that today. So I was getting my hair cut. And the stylist who was doing that, I always get to have some awesome conversations and find out about life. And she was just telling me something, and it just came up, and it's only Jesus that it did. She said, you know, in this world we live in today, I have thousands of friends on Facebook. But only like one or two people that really know about me. They've really walked with me my whole life and just know the ups and downs. I was inviting her to church, and obviously that just wasn't. She's been burned by the church, sharing so many stories there. And that's okay. I mean, that's a lot of our stories. She was telling me, you know, I just don't have many friends. And I have a two-year-old. And I want more for that, more for him than that. I want him to have more than two or three friends. And I just don't know how to find it. And so it just kind of went back and forth, and it started making me think, you know, that's the world we live in, isn't it? We have become so in love with the dream of friendship that we can find either on social media or even on television that we've forgotten the reality of living it out and the importance of having someone. She said, I didn't realize it till I had a son, and I wanted more for him. And obviously, I'm like, I know where you can find it. Like, come to church. Like, please, you're going to find it. I promise you, he's going to find friends. You're going to find friends. You're going to see people who are going to meet you right where you are. And they're going to walk with you step by step. Just a church. It doesn't have to be this church. It doesn't have to be the Vine. Just come to church. Find community somewhere. But it made me think that's where we are, isn't it? I started thinking about that. We live in this culture of shallow relationships, but aren't deep at all. I'm guilty of it. We all are. Like, I told you, we want to blame social media, but it actually starts with the television, y'all. Like, how many of us have a night a week, if not multiple, that there is an hour blocked off on our time because we ain't missing our show? Why do you love that show? Because there is a relationship in it. Unless you're a psychopath watching something else, you have a favorite person, and you're just like, man, if that person was in my life, that would be my friend. Like, that's the person I like. That's the one I identify the most with. We love that relationship. And so every day we come in, and every time we have this time set aside that we come again, and we meet this character, this person that's not even real, and we fall more and more in love with the reality. Now listen, I'm not telling you to burn your TV or your cell phone. That's crazy, because I like football, so like football would be my person. There's relationships in football, so like things like that. I'm telling you, we fall more in love with that than the reality of it, and what happens is the media has found out that it gets ratings. Ratings equal ad revenue. And the more and more they isolate you from community to continue to watch that, the more and more you're hooked. And the more and more you're hooked in a dream, you can't live in reality. That's why gaming is so popular. That's why social media is so popular. That's why television, literally, soap operas. I'm going to open the door. I'm just going to say it. Like, that just, it just is. All of us have that. And the thing that we get to live out in Christianity is it's not fake. It's genuine love. It's real relationship. Where they can see it on the TV or they can experience it in real life. Not the dun, dun, dun. Not that. Like, real love. But we've got to be willing to step out of our shallow relationship by sharing ourselves with those around us. And that's a hard thing, y'all. I'm telling you, it's a hard thing. As a person, it's a hard thing because you're like, man, if they really knew me, what would they do? And I want to tell you, they would be with you step by step if they have Jesus. They would be. And so today, I'm just going to say, let's break this culture of shallow relationships, because we weren't created to live like a story plot or a character in our favorite show. We were created to live a kingdom life that shows love to the ends of the earth. You want to see the world change? You want to see with all the craziness that's happened in the world? And I can't keep beating that drum enough. You want to see it change? Let's live out love. Let's just live out love. Hey, they said this on social media. They just downed the church. They just said, seriously, I'll even put it to you this way. There are Christian leaders walking from the faith right now, and people are just slamming them. Let's just love them. Let's just love them. Because you know what? I'm not shocked people are, because the Bible tells us that that is going to happen. But I'd rather love them right where they are. And when they do see Jesus, is who he says he is again, as they're trying to walk through and work out their salvation with fear and trembling, I want them to see the love of him through me. I want them to see the love of Jesus through me. Because we're all one step away from being there. Maybe even one paycheck away from saying, Jesus, I just don't know. And so why would we not love those people right where they are? And I'm telling you, we can do it, guys. You don't have to have all the answers. And not just one person loving, but when a community of people love someone, that's what makes all the difference. When you say, hey, man, I've got an army with me that's walking with you step by step. How much confidence does that give you? Like, you're just jacked up. You're ready to go when that happens. If you've got a community built on real love, you can do that. Because without relationships, we're just passing along information. I can stand up here and read the Bible to you all day long, and God's word is living and active, and the Holy Spirit will move. So I'm not trying to downplay that. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. If we don't have love in our relationships, we're just passing along information. And the age we live in, that's why we have a computer, to help us process and share information. That is not what Jesus gave us the church for. And I want to tell you, I love where he has us right now. A lot of folks are really downtrodden and think about how awful it is. I think it's great, because God created us for a time just as this, for a purpose just like this, to live out love, because we get to show the world this love you're searching for in the world, in that other person, in that drug, in that television show, in that game, in that school, in that education, in that title, in that house, in that car, is not close to what the love of Jesus is. Not even close. We get to show that. We get to show that. So let's not just be people who pass along information. I'm talking to myself here. Let's be people who love, 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 love. And if you want to see what happens, is this love relationship isn't, I have all the answers and I got to tell you what the right answer is. Because you ever been in a marriage? How does that work? Where I have all the right answers, where both of you say you have all the right answers, you both end up being wrong, because it's just the truth. None of us have all the answers. It's just not how it is. But when you work in a love relationship that says, hey, let's work through this together, how much difference is that? Would you say that that brings you closer? And you're just like, I just want to know what to eat after church. Like, we're going to work through this together. Like, just go. Just go. That'll be the monumental fight here in just a little bit. Just FYI, in about 30 minutes. Everybody will be figuring that out. So that being said, a love relationship says let's walk and work through this together. Let's not just be passing along information. So my question is, inside of that, who's your crew? Who's rolling with you? Who's the people in your life that you say, this is my army, and we're going to meet people right where they are, and we're going to show them Jesus step by step, and we're going to grow in our faith, and they're going to grow in their faith, and they're going to experience love in a brand new way because Jesus has sent me on a mission to do it. Who's your crew? See, that's why we meet on Thursday nights. Now, I know some of us can't meet on Thursday nights, and so I'm throwing this out there to everyone, the church, and maybe even the folks who are listening by podcast. I would love going into 2020. I believe Jesus wants us to create more opportunities. Maybe Thursday night at 6:25 don't work for you, but Wednesday at 3:30 in the afternoon is perfect. Monday at 6:30 in the morning is your time where you can set aside a time just to be in Christian community. I want you to let me know. Email me, tyler.west@thevine.tv. Actually, if you call the church, it'll call me. So 864-580-6698. Whatever that looks like, let me know, because here's the thing. You don't have to live in upstate South Carolina to live out this love and to live out community. Wherever you're listening, in Spain or Australia, we have folks who are listening there every week. In California, Washington, we have folks up in Maine who listen. If you're listening by podcast, you can have Christian community where you are right now. We'd love to get tools in your hands to help you do that wherever you are. But I want to tell you, I want us all to say we got a crew with us. We know the Vine is with us, but there are people out there who haven't got to experience it. So I want to tell you, let's fill up your crew. Let's have a crew with you that's so brought up into love and has everything going. Because Thursday night's not going away. You're always welcome. We're going to have some love. We're going to have some food, and we're going to have some good times. Maybe that doesn't work for you. Like I said, maybe it's that 3 o'clock time when all of us want to take a nap during the day. You know, it's that 3 o'clock. We got to get over that hump. Maybe you got 30 minutes in your office, and you can just have a Bible study, or you just say, hey, how can I pray for you? That's showing love to people, y'all. How crazy would that be? You want to see some things changing? Ask somebody how you can pray for them. You might get more than you bargained for, but I promise you, you're going to hear some stuff, and it's so worth it. So today, let's continue to live out love, life on life. Let's go ahead and wrap up 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8 says this, my favorite, next to favorite. 13 is my favorite. 1 Corinthians 13 is my favorite. But 1 Corinthians 13:8 inside of this, love never fails. Remember that. Your and my human love will fail and fail often. But Christ's love never fails. The love of Jesus in us will not fail. And when we share that with the world, we have to understand that. But here's what happens when we don't have love. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. So let's mull this up. In other words, if we're not fully devoted to love and living out love, we're not gaining anything, because that's not full. That is in part. Jesus said, I've done it. It is fulfilled. Everything's done. It is finished. When we live out his love, it won't come back void. When we live out his love, it is going to stay. It is complete. But when it's in us, it will disappear. He said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now, this is for a lot of us today. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Men, I'm talking to us. I'm just saying. It says right here, this is how we have to live. Just putting the ways of childhood behind us. That old football injury. I'm 35, and I didn't stop my career. My football career wasn't an old football injury. That ain't it, okay? So when I was like a child, I thought like a child, I talked like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. What Paul's talking about is as we grow in love, we grow in faith, we grow in our knowledge of Christ, and we can share him more. So instead of just being a child, we get to be grown in our faith. And he says, now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Don't lie, you heard Alan Jackson when I said that. It's okay. It's all right. I'm not going to be mad at you. It's okay. But the greatest of these is love. So the third thing we got to live out in our relationships, how we journey in relationships with love, is seriously love and be fully known. Love and be fully known. John Ortberg wrote a book. He's a pastor in California. He wrote a book. He's a great, great speaker as well. He's an author. He wrote a book called Soul Keeping. Great book. Highly recommend it. And it's an awesome book. But he said in Soul Keeping this, and I think it speaks volumes to all of us. To be fully loved and fully known is the healing gift one human being can give one another. To be fully loved and be fully known is the healing gift one human being can give one another. To be fully known and to be fully loved. See, here's the thing. When I talk to people about the church, they're not running away for bad theology. They're not running away because we don't understand the Second Reformation. They're not running away because we don't know all of the things that Martin Luther pounded on that door and shared throughout. They're not running away for bad theology. They're just not. They're running away because they're not experiencing love. That's why people aren't in the church. And what has happened is the world has convinced them the love they can find out there is greater than the love they can find here. And we know better. And we get to live it better. I love that we're dedicated to love here at the Vine, but I love also that there's so much more love to share. I mean, we got not just a city, we've got the world that we get to share it with. How crazy awesome is that? And the way that we can share that to show someone when we fully love them is that they're fully known. Ever been fully known? See, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were fully known to each other, openly transparent to God. Didn't say they hid anything from God. Till that apple, or whatever it was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then all of a sudden, they started hiding things, and they weren't fully known from God. Their love for God was changed in that moment. All of us, to be fully known, we have to start by being fully loved and giving the full love of Jesus Christ. And the way that we build that is we create an experience that's really like welcome home. Because when we fall in love with that Hallmark dream of home, isn't it just the place where you're accepted as who you are? No matter how many times you failed, the door's always open. No matter how many times you've been hurt, there's a place at the table just for you. That's what it's about, to be fully known. And that's why we say welcome home here at the Vine. As this is a place where we can say welcome home, because our home isn't here. Our home is in eternity in heaven. And we get to bring that to earth by how we love. And so I just want to ask you, if you really want to have just a litmus test of your love, how deep do you want to go in a relationship with someone? Now hear me out. What I mean by that is, how many times are you willing to meet them right where they are, even if they're farther back than you think they could be? Even if they were to take one step forward and 50 steps back, how deep are you willing to go? Because the depth that you're willing to go is your faith. It will show you your faith that Jesus is doing what only he can do. And I promise you, if you'll do that and meet them right where they are, your faith will grow and your love for him will grow. Like I said, I'm not telling you to be abused. Love sometimes sets up boundaries. That's okay too. I'm saying, are you willing just to love that person? If they never change the rest of their life, would you love them? I wish I could tell you I was 100% at that. I'm not, right? If they take cheese away from me and macaroni and cheese isn't there, I don't know what to tell y'all. I mean, we're going to have to do something. I'm going to be praying for the rapture. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what's going to happen. I'm just going to do it. Even though I can't really eat it, I mean, it doesn't matter. It don't matter. Like, bless the cows. That's right. That's why I love Chick-fil-A. Bless the cows. I'm just saying. So, I'm just saying, the willingness of each of us to do that, though, for real, is how deep would we go? How deep are we willing to go into a love relationship with someone, meeting them right where they're at, and showing them the love of Jesus? See, his whole life was a reflection of the cross, obedience to God's word and laying down himself for others. That's what we're called to do as we journey on this earth. Our relationship with Jesus allows us to lay down ourselves, and through that, we become fully known. So as we wrap this up today, and we're in we've wrapped up 1 Corinthians 13, and we've talked about this journey, you can see that love was in every one of those ways that we journey in relationships. The thing is, this all sounds great, and it all sounds good. It almost sounds like one of those Hallmark movies, and it almost sounds like one of those TV shows that we want to catch on and just binge watch as the fall comes in. But the thing is, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, we can't possibly give real love. It's a fake version. It's a television version. And I'm convinced that so many times in our life, Maybe the reason that we can't give a true love is because we've never really experienced the true love of Jesus. It's not a love we can earn. It's not a love that we can pray our way out of. It's not a love that we can give our way out of. Paul talks about all the ways that we can try to display love in 1 Corinthians 13. But real love is receiving the love of Jesus. And so many times we can get stuck because the love that we want to show isn't his love because we haven't received his. So I'm just going to say we do this every week here at the Vine. We want to set you up to say, have you ever experienced Jesus? Maybe the reason those relationships don't ever work out is because you don't have Jesus in them. Because in a relationship where you're pursuing Jesus and those around you are pursuing Jesus, you're bound to meet in the middle. You're bound to meet in the middle. And I just want to tell you, maybe the reason that the job isn't working out or the constant service isn't, or maybe the constant prophecy, whatever this looks like, whatever it is you're trying to do to earn your way to heaven, the reason that it isn't is because you haven't experienced Jesus. And for those of us who have, what we can share with the world is saying, we didn't earn any of this. There's nothing we could do to get there. Titus 3 says it this way, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. What I'm trying to tell you is because of Adam and Eve in the garden, all of us live in rebellion to God, live in rebellion to the creator of the universe. We live in wrong relationship with him, which leads to every relationship around us being broken. But through Jesus, it can all be healed. Through Jesus, it will all be restored. The thing is, we can't earn it. Titus says it. We can't work our way through. We can't pray our way through. We can't read our Bible enough through it. And I'm convinced, my friend, if you continue to do that, and you haven't experienced Jesus, it's because you've never given your life to him. You've never believed in your heart that he died and rose again on the third day. You've never confessed him as Lord of your life. And this is your opportunity to nail that down. Right now, maybe the Spirit's working in you. Maybe right now some things are being revealed wherever you are that is showing you that the love that you've been chasing and the love that you've been giving isn't real love. So as we get ready here, as we do every week, I just want to open the door for you to experience love for the first time of Jesus. And with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do this isn't for ourselves, and it isn't so that we can look good, and it isn't so that we can boast in ourselves. No, it's because we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And what we're about to pray isn't the words of this prayer, but the faith of this prayer, that Jesus is who he says he is. We pray this prayer so that we can literally believe in our heart that he died and rose again, and we can confess that he's Lord of our life. Just as Titus said, we're no longer chasing those passions and those pleasures of the flesh. Instead, we're pursuing Jesus wholeheartedly with all we are and trusting him with our life. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to pray together for the benefit of those who are coming to receive Jesus for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every bow and every eye closed, each and every one of us here, we want to celebrate with you. I'm going to count to three. And if you, for the first time, have just given your life to Jesus and received his love, finally, finally experienced the love of a Savior, the love of Christ, a love that does not fail, a love that endures, a love that gives more than it would ever receive. If you have for the first time given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to respond by raising your hand when I count to three. One, two, three. If that's you in this house, raise your hand. If that's you online or you're listening by podcast, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you, please, please respond to the hand that's raised. If you're on Facebook, shoot us a comment or shoot us an email at prayer@thevine.tv or shoot us a text message or phone call at 864-580-6698. And the reason we do that is you're just at the starting block. You've got a family here who loves you and is so excited that you have taken this step. And we want to walk with you and help you figure out what's next in this journey that Jesus has you on here on earth and living your relationships out with love. We want to help you. So if you would please reach out to us, we would love, love, love to do that. And for everyone else here, we're about to get ready to worship. I'm going to pray, and after we end our prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to sing this song like you're experiencing Jesus like never. Maybe you're not experiencing Jesus's love right now, or maybe you're having some frustrations with others. I'm just gonna ask you to just put it all down in this song and sing and worship. Like, go back to that first time you remember experiencing his love. Go back to that moment you remember that you know he saved you, that he pointed you, that you turned from and repented from the life that you were living in and fully received his love. Because I'm telling you, if we worship that way through this song, wherever we go throughout this week, can't help but experience him. If we'll just put it and lay it down to him today. So dear Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for letting us experience real love. Jesus, in our way, we try to fill real love with everything in this world. We try to fill it with a title. We try to fill it with a job, or we try to fill it with a position, or possessions, or relationships with people. But Jesus, you are number one. You are the only thing that ever came on this earth to serve everyone else but yourself. And Jesus, we can't thank you enough for that. We've talked about singing in the victory today. Jesus, we've talked about going out and living life, love on love. We've said, yes, we will, in songs that we've sang today. So Jesus, I'm telling and I'm begging you, and I'm just saying, Jesus, please open our eyes. Holy Spirit, please move in us right now. Please let our hearts be open, let our eyes be open, and our ears be open. Let us see the ones you've placed in front of us, Jesus, that need your love, and let us be willing to go so deep as to show it. Whatever we're holding on to, Jesus, I'm just going to ask that we let it go. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
You'll stand and sing with us. Fall apart. You're the one. Jesus, you're my home and safe.
As we do every week, let's lock it up and get ready to pray and go about this week as folks are coming across and doing this as we get to as a family and a community. We're just going to pray. And like I said, we're going to pray over this year. So, dear Jesus, thank you. Lord, we need you. We need you in everything we do. So many times, pridefully, we think that we've got it all together. But, Jesus, without you, it's nothing, because you are love. You are love. And so today, as we go out into this week, Jesus, I pray that we would have eyes to see the ones you've placed in our path that need to experience love. Jesus, we just lift up every teacher, every student, every parent, every guardian, every coach, every custodian, every worker, every person that comes in contact with a child this school year. Jesus, I just pray and we pray and we lift them up right now, dear Lord, that they would show your love to these students, that this year would be marked by your love more than anything else, that this would be the year that they can say they've experienced you. Jesus, that there would be boldness. I pray right now for every teacher and administrator as they have to just tackle opportunities and situations that we have never even imagined. I pray that as they love that child, Jesus, that they would point that child to be all that you created them to be. Even when they want to make you pull your hair out, Jesus, I pray that they would see the potential in those children, that they would see that you made them for something more, that there is a purpose, and that they're fighting back on something, and the reason they're fighting back maybe be because they don't know the love of a Savior. So Jesus, as we go out into this world, as these teachers and these students and the parents, as everyone starts this new year and these new days of hecticness and busyness, Jesus, I pray that we wouldn't be too busy to experience you, that we wouldn't be too busy to share you, that we wouldn't be so caught up in everything we have to do that we miss out on what you created us to do and the good work you made in advance for us. So today, let us push back the gates of hell with love. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. We can't wait to continue and wrap up our series, The Good Work, with Multiply.